Welcome to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. It's Saturday, July 16th, 2022, live to be rebroadcast Wednesday, July 20th, 2022, on 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Fran Sorcendi, naturopathic physician, and my co-host Ron Meniza is working in Vermont right now. Lucky him, he gets to be in Vermont while I'm back here. I had a very nice day today, I must say. I'm coming to you live from beautiful Mansfield Hollow, Connecticut. Comment below to let us know you're here and ask questions. You can also email me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also check out my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at FranStorchND. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. So tomorrow is July 17th, and it's my friend Saul Nesselroth's birthday. He will be 95 years old, and he still rides his bike. How amazing is that? So sometimes I'm just hanging out, minding my own business at my house, and Saul shows up. And these days he's riding a trike. It's a low to the ground recumbent trike and it's awesome. And he rides by himself, which is a little scary, but there you have it. But I mean, he shows up at my house and he's still doing it. He's still active. It's so exciting. It's really amazing. So the bike club is doing a special gathering at the Red Barn Creamery and Stores tomorrow and to celebrate. And it's tradition to buy us all ice cream. I guess he gets some too. It's a great social time and celebration. And Saul shares a birthday with my friend Beth, who also rides. She's a little bit less than 95 by a few decades, and but still is worthy of celebration. So we'll be celebrating. I think it's really cool that Beth and Saul have the same birthday a few years apart, but you know, it's the same day. You know, it's still July 17th. Yay, you cancers, you children of the crab, you children of the moon, you moon children. People who are born under the sign of cancer tend to be, they're moon children, they tend to have round faces like the moon, and they tend to be very family oriented. My sister is a cancer, and she's her birthday was last Sunday on July 10th, and we had a very lovely time spending time in New Jersey hanging out with her. So anyway, so I want to talk about some cool stuff today. There's a trend. There's a viral trend. I don't know how viral it is because I hadn't heard of it until I found it online, but maybe some of you know about it. It's called Healthy Coke. So it's a drink that's kind of like Coca-Cola. And people say, if you do this and this, it tastes just like Coke and it's better for you. So let's look at this Healthy Coke, because this is going to be a nice segue into what I really want to talk about, which is your teeth today. So is Coca-Cola good for your teeth? The short answer is So anyway, so if you spend time on TikTok, you're going to see this Healthy Coke. If you look for such things, again, I hadn't heard of it until I started, you know, looking around for information because I wanted to talk about tooth enamel and stuff like that. And so I looked and I found out about this Healthy Coke. So the deal is, there's a user named Amanda Jones who's in California, and she made it go viral, and she says it tastes just like Coke. And there were other people who tried it and made it and screwed up their faces and said, well, not so much. So here's what they say about it. There is, it supposedly tastes like Coke, and then Gene Moos on CNN got into it, and but they didn't think that people would get so excited about it. And, you know, of course, the American Dental Association says this kind of drink can cause wear and tear on your teeth. So the acids, even in sugar-free beverages, can erode tooth enamel. So any acid that's in anything that you consume is going to have some effect on your tooth enamel. And we're going to talk about tooth enamel today. So what they do is they mix flavored sparkling water with balsamic vinegar, and it's a healthy alternative to Coca-Cola. So they looked at how non-carbon, so there was a study that was published online in the Journal of Foundational Science, and they looked at how non-carbonated bottled water, flavored sparkling water, and regular sparkling water could cause dental erosion. And they soaked teeth that were recently extracted in different sugar-free beverages and also in one with sugar, and they soaked them for 24 hours, which is, that's scary to me. And that was so it was determined to be like a year's worth of exposure to these acids. And it's the acids, not the type of sweetener in these drinks, that cause the enamel erosion. So if you have lemon, which doesn't have a lot of sugar in it, it has plenty of acid in it, it can affect your teeth. If you have coffee or tea, unsweetened, that it has acids in it, it can affect your teeth. Fruit has acids in it, can affect your teeth, which is why you see all those ads for enamel rebuilding toothpastes. So here's the thing. So there's a dentist at the Department of Cariology and Comprehensive Care at NYU Dentistry who says that balsamic vinegar has a pH between 2 and 3, and seltzer that has a pH from 3.5 to 5, those are acidic. So neutral pH is 7, and demineralization of enamel can occur when the pH drops below 5.5. So that's not that acidic. And when you have demineralization, the enamel, which is the hard and shiny outer covering of your teeth, can deteriorate. When your teeth get rougher and some of the enamel is gone, the plaque can get in, bacteria can get in and create plaque, and the plaque makes its own acids, which decay your teeth. So the other thing is, if you sip, if you chug your Coke, you're in better shape than if you sip it. Because if you sip it, you're holding it in your mouth longer, you're taking longer to do it, and you're going to have more exposure of the acid to your teeth. So what are the alternatives to acidic drinks? Water. So if you drink water, water is a pH of 7. That's not going to erode your teeth. And if you are going to drink more acidic beverages, you can use a straw, and the straw may bypass your teeth to an extent, and avoid prolonged drinking times. Wait an hour after having. So if you have an acidic beverages, you actually don't want to brush your teeth right away, because you want your saliva to do some work on repairing the enamel. So it's a good idea, if you have something acidic, don't brush your teeth immediately. Wait about an hour. What you can do is drink plain water, because the plain water is going to help to wash out the acid. That you can do right away. So let's find out if this healthy Coke is nutritious. And balsamic vinegar isn't necessarily nutritious. I think that balsamic vinegar probably has some flavonoids in it, so it's going to have some antioxidant properties. Some people get reflux from consuming too much vinegar. On the other hand, there are people who use vinegar as a remedy for reflux, because when you lower the pH of your stomach acid by putting acid into it, your lower esophageal sphincter is more likely to close. Your lower esophageal sphincter likes to close when it has plenty of stomach acid in it, as though you were eating and you were producing stomach acid. So some people find that vinegar, usually they use apple cider vinegar, which is also acidic, and that can help your heartburn. On the other hand, if you already have erosion and irritation in your stomach, if you consume things that are acidic, it can cause further irritation. So some people have issues with vinegar, and some people find that vinegar is useful. So it depends on the type or brand of the balsamic vinegar that you could use. Some have more sugar in them than others. So you can look at your bottle of balsamic vinegar. It might tell you how many grams of sugar there are per unit volume, per tablespoon or per teaspoon. And you want to go for lower sugar. If you want something, if you want your salad to be a little sweeter, then you're looking at using something else to sweeten it, like perhaps honey or sprinkling fruit into it, and then drinking water, because the fruit and the vinegar can cause wear to the enamel in your teeth. And as we said, if you're consuming anything acidic, you wait an hour before you brush your teeth. But you can be drinking water. Of course, the water thing can be an issue, because you want stomach acid to be effective and available for your digestion. So some people find if they drink water while they're eating, it dilutes their stomach acid and they don't have as effective digestion. Good times. So what are some healthier alternatives to healthy Coke? If you like carbonated drinks, you can add any type of fruit to just sparkling water, and it'll give you a similar flavor profile. So the little bit of lemon that you squeeze into your sparkling water isn't going to be as much acid as if you drank real, you know, colas, or if you drank this balsamic vinegar, like this balsamic vinegar and seltzer drink that sort of tastes like Coke. And so, you know, be educated. Remember that water. Seltzer waters do vary in pH levels. Try to choose one that's close to 7. So the less stuff it has in it, the closer it is going to be to 7. If you use your own plain seltzer or flavored seltzer and then add your own fruit to it, again, the fruit that you're adding to it, you're probably not going to add enough fruit to significantly lower the pH. You're going to lower it a little bit, but not as much as if you were having, you know, a straight up beverage. So that's something to look at, that you, that healthy Coke may not be so healthy for you, and it can be an issue for you. So let's look at the ingredients to an all natural cola beverage. So this is a healthy form of Coke, of cola that you can buy at the health food store. These are the ingredients in it. And that's different. That's going to be different from the ingredients in, a classic branded beverage that's advertised everywhere. Okay. So here, this one is one you can buy at any health food store, and the ingredients are carbonated pure water, fair trade certified organic cane sugar, spices, caffeine, and phosphoric acid. So you see, it does have phosphoric acid in it. And, when you buy branded, famous name colas, they definitely have phosphoric acid in them. So phosphoric acid, I guess it makes it part of the taste profile, but it makes the drink very acidic, and that combination of phosphoric acid and sugar is really bad for your enamel. So even in this really healthy organic cola, there's phosphoric acid and sugar in it. So if you want to enjoy this beverage, don't spend too long sipping it. Consider putting it into a glass and sipping it with a straw, sticking a straw into the bottle, or drinking water in between your sips. That's not as much fun. Or maybe what you do is you drink once you're done drinking it, drink a nice glass of water and then wait an hour and brush your teeth. And then, because you need to get the sugar out of there. So your soda, coffee, tea, fruit, including water with lemon, kombucha, and vinegar can all lower the pH of your mouth below 5.5, which can lead to enamel wear. So what can you do? Like we said, drinking water alongside or at least after drinking or eating an acidic food can help. So can increasing the enamel of your teeth. So now we're going to talk about remineralizing your teeth. That's something that I like to talk. I've talked about it a number of times. And wear on your tooth enamel is really a concern. If you drink coffee, if you drink tea, if you like to eat fruit, if you like to put fruit in your water, if you like vinegar, if you like kombucha, all of those things, you're going to need to do some tooth remineralizing. And the older you get, the worse it seems to get, because I am on it so much. So calcium and phosphate help to make up tooth enamel. So do bone and dentin, and they prevent tooth decay and subsequent cavities. And as you age, you lose minerals in your teeth. That's why as you get older, you might find that as you go to the dentist, you're getting more cavities. And sugary, it could be just because you're eating more sugary and acidic foods over time. So you've just got more wear over time. Bacteria can also accumulate in your mouth, and your immune system changes as you get older. And over time, as the enamel or bone are gone, it's very hard to replace them. Like you wind up having to replace the tooth or get fillings and things like that. So you talk to your dentist about various treatment measures. So what can you do? First of all, brush your teeth. There's a shock. You need to brush your teeth. Brushing your teeth helps to remove bacteria. Let's try that again. Brushing your teeth is important for removing bacteria. When you get cavities, which are also known as dental caries, the main bacteria that accumulates in your mouth that causes cavities is Streptococcus mutans. So do you ever floss? And then if you haven't brushed your teeth in a day or maybe a couple of days, which you shouldn't do, and you get it out and it smells like that sort of yucky sulfury smell, that's Streptococcus mutans. That's what likes to grow in your mouth and make plaque. Those bacteria transmitted in food and drink, and when you brush your teeth regularly, you can help to remove it. Now there's controversy about fluoride. People in the natural medicine community are not crazy about fluoride. They think fluoride can be toxic and can replace minerals such as iodine and mess up your thyroid function. On the other hand, the American Dental Association feels that topical fluoride has been studied to block up the lacunae, the little spots inside your teeth where enamel can grow. You have little spots in your teeth that are they're depressions in your teeth that are very tiny. And when you block them up with minerals like calcium, phosphate, and fluoride, the plaque can't get in. So that's what fluoride does. And so if you use a fluoride toothpaste every day, it can be helpful for that. I'm not a big fan of using huge amounts of fluoride. If you use a little fluoride in your toothpaste and you make sure you spit your toothpaste out, you're going to get some fluoride on your teeth and then you spit the rest out. The fluoride toothpaste, it's been studied to be helpful for tooth decay. So it's up to you if you want to use fluoride or not. Calcium and calcium phosphate can also help to prevent demineralization, which I'm going to talk about. Sugar is a big problem because the strep mutans loves to eat sugar. And when the strep mutans gets to munch on sugar, that's when they make plaque. So what is plaque? Plaque is biofilm. It's a protein that the bacteria make that surround the bacteria so that your immune system can't get at it. And that's why you make plaque. And so if you get rid of plaque, you get rid of bacteria. And there's some cool stuff that can break down plaque. One of the things that breaks down plaque is the sugar alcohols. Now, if you consume too much sugar alcohol, you can get gas. So we recommend 40 milligrams a day or 40 grams a day or under of sugar alcohols, unless you're very sensitive to sugar alcohol and you can't do any at all. But you'll see xylitol, sorbitol, and erythritol in toothpaste, in gum, in drinks. More often, and sorbitol tends to give you more gas than the xylitol and erythritol, although some people can't do any of them at all. But xylitol and erythritol are very effective at being antimicrobial. So they put xylitol and erythritol in natural mouthwashes. Some people don't do well with sugar alcohols, and some people are fine with it. And I'm fine personally with a small amount of sugar alcohol. And so I use mouth rinse that has sugar alcohol in it, and I will sometimes use toothpaste with xylitol in it. And if you do candy with xylitol in it, that's sweetened only with xylitol, that can definitely help to reduce your bacteria in your mouth and reduce tooth decay. That has been studied. So also, when you have a higher frequency of sugar consumption, that leads to more demineralization than the amount of sugar. So if you have a huge thing of ice cream and then you don't have it again for a week, you're probably okay. But if you have a little bit of ice cream every day, that's more of a problem because you're seeding your mouth with sugar every single day. So time away from sugar is what's important. If you chew sugarless gum, now I know sugarless gum, I'm not crazy about the aspartame that's in sugarless gum. Aspartame has been shown to have neurological issues. But the studies are on sugarless gum, and sugarless gum may have sorbitol in it, may have sugar alcohols in it. Sometimes they have xylitol in them. You can get xylitol only gum, but the thing is, some of those xylitol gums don't have agents that keep the flavor going. You know, those flavors that last an extra, extra long time. They have chemicals in them to make that flavor last and make it so that you're not gagging on the gum after 5 minutes. And that's what happens to me. I can't hold gum in my mouth if it's not flavored. And after a while, I make too much saliva and I have to get rid of the gum. But sugar-free gum, and when they're saying sugar-free gum, they're not necessarily getting it from the health food store. They're getting it off the rack at the checkout line in the supermarket. That gum does help to remove sugar, plaque, and carbs from your teeth. And it encourages your salivary glands to produce more saliva. Saliva has immune compounds in it. It has immune globulin A. It has probiotic in it. Has stuff to prevent you from getting bacteria. So having a dry mouth is really a bad thing if you have issues with bacteria in your mouth and have issues with dental caries. So also drinking lots of water. So drinking water is important. If you let your mouth get too dry, you're going to be more likely to get cavities. And so drinking water is going to let you have less tooth decay. So xylitol and sorbitol are the most promising sugar-free ingredients. This study that I'm looking at they're not talking about erythritol, but erythritol also is helpful. Fruit and fruit juices, use them in moderation. And again, if you drink fruit juice or eat fruit, you might want to drink some water afterwards to get rid of the acids that are in the fruits. So citrus, like grapefruit and oranges, have the most acid in them. So if you eat an orange or you eat a grapefruit or you're putting lemon in your water, you probably want to drink some plain water after that. The acids in those fruits can bind to calcium and strip it away. And fruit juices can be even worse. So if you're having a little bit of fruit juice, good idea to have water afterwards. And have more calcium and vitamins in your diet. So calcium is produced within your teeth that you'll get when you consume calcium in your diet. You will make more calcium, will make its way to your teeth, but it is stripped away by bacteria over time, and you can replace it by eating calcium-rich foods. If you are not dairy intolerant, you can definitely eat dairy. You can eat cheese from cows. If you're going to eat dairy, I do recommend doing grass-fed dairy because it's going to be the least allergenic and it's going to have the most vitamin K2, which is also good for placing minerals where they need to go in your teeth. And you're going to have less hormones and you're always going to get hormones if you're consuming dairy. You're going to always get some level of them, but you're going to get less if you're doing grass-fed dairy. And grass-fed dairy, you can get more vitamin K2, and you're going to get more carotenoids, and you're going to get more essential fatty acids, which are anti-inflammatory. And you will get some calcium that way. When you consume enough vitamin D, and if you can't get your vitamin D levels up naturally by being out in the sun or by the food that you eat, then it's a good idea to take a supplement. Vitamin D will direct calcium to go where it needs to go into your bones and your teeth, as will vitamin K2. Vitamin K2, as we said, it's in fermented dairy products. There's even more in grass-fed dairy, and you can also take it as a supplement. Probiotics as well. Probiotics are actually important for remineralization, and you can get strains that are specific to help with remineralization. If you sip on kefir is for a fermented dairy product that's very liquidy. It has many, many species, including the ones that you need to remineralize your teeth. So it has bifidobacteria, Lactobacillus reuteri, Lactobacillus rhamnosus, and salivaris. And those, you can also get probiotics that are for sucking on, probiotics that are chewable that you can actually suck on as a lozenge that have those in them. That's possible to find. So that's something that's really neat to look into. So if you're sitting at your desk at work and you're not able to get to brush your teeth after you eat your lunch, good idea to drink some water, plain old water. And then when you're done that, there's a couple things you can do. You can have xylitol candies in your desk and you can suck on those. And you can also have probiotic lozenges that you can suck on. And you can pop those in your mouth and they're going to impart lovely these bacteria, bifidobacteria, reuteri, rhamnosus, and salivaris. If you have a dry mouth, you have to figure out why you have a dry mouth. And people can have dry mouth for many reasons. So you want to find out, like, are you hypothyroid and you're dry anyway? So get your thyroid corrected if that's what's going on. If you're not sure why you have a dry mouth, go to the doctor and see if you have any conditions that can make your mouth drier. For example, hypothyroidism. Another thing that can make your mouth dry is any medications. Medications like decongestants can make your mouth drier. So if you have allergies and you take loratadine or fexofenadine or cetirizine, any of the antihistamines, that can give you a dry mouth. Many medications can give you a dry mouth, so check your medication to see if dry mouth is one of its side effects. Medications for that treat various conditions. You can have a condition called Sjogren's syndrome, which is an autoimmune condition where you make antibodies to the fluid-producing cells of your mucous membrane. So that's your mouth, that's your esophagus, that's your entire digestive system, that's your eyes, that's your nose. So if you have Sjogren's syndrome, you want to address that. Find out if there's a way you can take anti-inflammatories that can reduce those antibodies so you make more of your own saliva. You can also consume things that help you make more saliva, like lemon. Yes, lemon, it's a problem because lemon is a great sialagogue. It helps you to make more saliva. But lemon is also not so great for your teeth because it's acidic. So you take the lemon and perhaps with some xylitol in it, you know, that lemon xylitol candy is a great idea. And then you have to drink some water afterwards. And just plain old water, although water isn't a sialagogue, it does keep your mouth moist. And when you're washing, anytime you're putting water in, you're washing whatever's in your mouth through. And that's going to be helpful for you. Starchy foods, potatoes, rice, bread, they have simple carbohydrates, especially after they break down in your mouth. And did you know there's only one enzyme in saliva, and it is amylase. That's why if you take a piece of bread or pasta and you put it in your mouth and you chew it for a really long time, it will get sweeter and sweeter. Why? Because the amylase, which breaks down amylose. Amylose is a starch that's found in potatoes, rice, and bread, pasta, whatever. And you chew for long enough, that amylose is going to be broken down by the amylase that's in your saliva, and then you're going to have this sweet stuff. So the longer you chew on starchy food, the more sugar you're going to get in your mouth. And once you get that sugar in your mouth, strep mutans has a party, and then it overgrows, it makes plaque, and you have more acids, and you start into the whole tooth decay deal. We said this already, drinking more water. Water is the preferred beverage of choice by most doctors. Removes a lot of harmful stuff from your body. It helps your liver and your kidneys to work better. When you drink water after you eat, you're going to get rid of some of the acids. And it can help reduce demineralization when you don't have that toothbrush. So after you're done your meal, if you can manage it, if you are a person who, like I said, some people don't like to drink water because they find that water dilutes their stomach acid and it affects their digestion. If that's you, then it might be a good idea to sip on just a little bit of water, or if you can get to the bathroom, just rinse your mouth out and spit it out if you don't want to drink it. Just rinse your mouth out with plain water, and that'll be helpful too. Coffee and tea don't remineralize your teeth as well. And coffee especially can be acidic, and even worse if there's sugar in it. Soda, of course, we already talked about how acidic it is. So mineral loss is inevitable because you use your teeth during your life. You're going to eat some starchy food at some point, unless you're on the ketogenic diet, which not everybody is. Foods and drinks and saliva and bacteria, your food are put on, go through a lot of wear and tear, so there's a lot of things that you can do to keep your teeth healthy, and you shouldn't take them for granted. So things to remember: you don't want to go to bed without brushing your teeth, because overnight is a great time to do all the stuff that you want to do to remineralize your teeth. You brush your teeth, you floss them. If you're going to pick them, you do that. If you're then going to put a special remineralizer on, like if you're going to do a remineralizing rinse, that's a good time to do it. And then if you're going to put on something like MI paste, which I'll explain in a minute, that's a good time to do it because you're going to spend the whole night with that stuff on your teeth, and you're not going to be eating anything or drinking anything. So it's going to sit there and it's going to do a lot of its best work. Of course, you want to brush properly. You want to brush well. Take your time. You want to move gently. And also brush your tongue because you can get plaque on your tongue. So you can get tongue scrapers. You can brush your teeth, brush your tongue with your toothbrush if you want to. Again, fluoride. Using fluoride, as we said, is controversial. The ADA is very much in favor of it. I'm sort of on the fence because I understand that topical fluoride can be helpful for teeth. I'm not so excited about people taking fluoride internally, although some good studies on that. But I think a little bit of fluoride topically on the teeth, if you're comfortable with that, is probably not a bad idea. Flossing is just as important as brushing because you just can't get between your teeth with the toothbrush, all right? So flossing is really helpful. It's going to help to agitate the plaque that's in there, and it's going to open up the spaces between your gums and your teeth. The Streptococcus mutans is an anaerobic bacteria. So when you expose strep mutans to oxygen, it dies. So strep mutans likes to grow and create plaque in those spaces between your gums and your teeth. So if you open up those spaces with both a rubber tip stimulator and with dental floss, you're going to open up the space to the air, and the strep mutans will die. And you're also going to mechanically move it. So that's a good idea to do it. So don't let flossing difficulties stop you. And remember, you don't have to just floss. You can also do water flossing. So if you don't like to stick things between your teeth, you can remember Waterpik that had that huge reservoir and it had a tube and it was very inconvenient to use. You can get handheld devices that are, just the size of a large toothbrush, the size of an electric toothbrush, that have a water reservoir that you can fill as you go. And they're very easy to use, and they're rechargeable, and you can, and you know, they're very easy to use, and you do have to stand over the sink because they're a little messy, and you have to learn how to use them, and you have to learn at what pace you want the water to go through. But say you have braces, with braces it's very difficult to get floss through. You can use a rubber tip if you have braces, but if you use a water flosser, you're gonna have just much healthier teeth and gums if you do that. The force of the water, you get your teeth really, really clean, and you're gonna make your hygienist really happy. And so mouthwash is a good idea. Mouthwash helps in a lot of ways. It can help to reduce the amount of acid in your mouth. It can get to hard to brush areas because it gets in between surfaces, and you can get mouthwash that helps with remineralization. So there are mouthwashes that have minerals in them that will add minerals to your mouth. And there are also mouthwashes that have herbs in them that are really good for your gums, that are antimicrobial and astringent and will kill bacteria and help with your gum health and help with regeneration. So if you get a mouthwash that has wonderful ingredients like neem, neem is known to be really good for your oral health because it's antimicrobial and astringent. Something like calendula in mouthwash is going to help to encourage the rebuilding of teeth, as is comfrey. And tea tree oil is going to kill anything that's in there. It's going to kill your strep mutans for you. And if you get that mouthwash and has xylitol in it too, all the better. So I use a mouth rinse that has all of those things in it, a bunch of tea tree oil and a bunch of different herbs in it. And I gargle with it too to help me. So what my routine is, after I brush, I floss, I pick with the rubber tip. Sometimes I use the water flosser too, not all the time if I don't have time, but I definitely brush, floss, and pick. After I do that, I blow my nose, and then I take nasal spray. The nasal spray I use half xylitol nasal spray that has xylitol salt and grapefruit seed extract in it. So it's half that, and it's half a solution that has more salt and a lot of essential oils in it that's meant for nasal washing. So it's half and half that, and I spray my nose with that and snort it. And that's to help me, to prevent me from getting respiratory viruses. And I've been more religious about that since the pandemic has happened. So I blow my nose and I snort that up. And right after I've done that, that's when I gargle, because when you do nasal lavage, any kind of nasal cleaning, you're going to get some drip in the back of your throat. So I want to catch that with the gargle. And the gargle I'm using a gargle that has all these wonderful herbs in it. So I start by swishing. So I use the gargle, and the gargle that I use has all these herbs in it, neem and witch hazel and tea tree oil and comfrey and calendula, and I do a squirt of remineralizing liquid in there, and I swish for about 2 minutes. Swish about 2 minutes. When I'm done swishing for 2 minutes, then I tilt my head back and I gargle with the solution. So the solution there is going to what's left is going to be antimicrobial on the back of my throat. And I gargle a few good gargles, and then I spit it out. When I'm done with that, I use remineralizing paste, which I'll talk about in a sec. Crunchy fruits and vegetables. Now, yes, we talked about fruits. Fruits are acidic, but on the other hand, if they're crunchy, crunchy stuff cleans your teeth. I was talking to a woman from Jamaica once, and she talked about how in Jamaica, they have sugarcane. They grow sugarcane. And they know sugarcane to be something that you can chew on that makes you have really nice, clean, white teeth. How interesting is that? Well, if you're eating the sugarcane, it's something that's chewy, it's fibrous, and it hasn't been processed to get all the sugar out. So you can chew on it, and the fibrous elements to it are going to clean your teeth. So, and that's something that's known in Jamaica. People chew on sugarcane, that's sugarcane right out of the field. They chew on it to clean their teeth. So you can chew on that. You can chew on radishes, you can chew on carrots and cucumbers and beets. And so that's really good for little kids. Little kids are not always so crazy about cooked vegetables because they don't necessarily like the flavors. But little kids run hot, and little kids like things that they can grab. So when I'm trying to help parents teach their children to eat good vegetables, we talk about having them eat crunchy things that they can grab. And so they can grab onto celery and carrots and cucumbers and radishes. and peppers, things that they can chew on, and they're cold, which a hot little kid who's running around and metabolizing them a lot might enjoy. Because it's harder to brush a little kid's teeth and get them to learn that there's a learning curve to getting good oral hygiene habits. Overly mushy processed stuff is not such a good idea. Get your jaws working and get the crunchy vegetables happening. Sugary and acidic foods are going to be an issue. We already talked about that. And the other thing is it's a good idea to do your dental prophylaxis like about twice a year. You know, the American Dental Association wants you to go twice a year. So there's a remineralizing liquid that I use. I use a squirt in my mouthwash. And so my mouthwash itself has tea tree oil and a lot of herbs in it. It has neem and calendula and comfrey and witch hazel and xylitol. Perhaps, I'm not sure if it has erythritol too, but it has a bunch of these different elements in it. And then the special remineralizing liquid has alkalizing minerals. So remember we talked about how acid takes the enamel off your teeth. Well, if you can get your mouth to be a little bit alkaline, at least for a little while, the alkalinization will help to deposit minerals on your teeth. So often when you get alkalizing natural mineral liquid, it will have minerals, the ancient seabed minerals. So you're going to be talking about the Zechstein bed in the Netherlands, or you're going to be talking about the Redmond salt from Utah, from the Great Salt Lakes in Utah, and also Himalayan pink sea salt because those have a lot of trace minerals in it. There's also essential oils such as eucalyptus, clove, wintergreen, and oregano, which are all going to be lovely and antimicrobial. They're going to kill your strep mutans for you. So you've got a combination of alkalization that deposits these lovely minerals back onto your teeth with antimicrobial herbs that help to kill bacteria that's in your mouth. I also like a paste. This is dairy, so if you're extremely dairy intolerant, you won't be able to use this one. So you can stick with the herbal one that has no dairy in it, but the one that I use has water. It has CPPACP, which is it's a type of phosphate that helps. It's phosphate and calcium that helps to deposit minerals back onto your teeth. There's sorbitol in it, and then there's a bunch of flowing agents in it. There's some sand in it, silicon dioxide. There's xylitol in it. There is some phosphoric acid in it, which seems a little crazy if you're trying to remineralize your teeth, but it's there because you need phosphate. You need an accessible form of phosphate. So they're alkalizing your teeth to get the phosphate onto your teeth. So in that context, it's probably all right. There's zinc in it too, and zinc is healing, including on your teeth. And there's magnesium in it too, which magnesium is going to be helpful for remineralizing your teeth. And so it comes in different flavors. So there's some things you can do. So you can definitely attempt to remineralize your teeth. There are remineralizing toothpastes that you can get, and you can get ones from the health food store, and you can get ones that are produced by large corporations. The large corporation ones are probably studied to get some mineralization back onto your teeth. They wouldn't be able to advertise if there wasn't some truth to it. What I have to do is talk to my dentist and see if they have ones that they prefer. I know that they prefer for me to use the overnight one, the one that with the CPPACP, the calcium phosphate one that you leave on. That they definitely are interested in. I don't know if they care so much about the others. As I've gotten older, I'm already 58 years old, and I eat blueberries, and I drink coffee, and I drink tea, and my teeth are starting to get yellow. I know, they don't look too bad right now, do they? But that's because I started using a whitening toothpaste, and it's got a polish in it that is less abrasive than my enamel. I'll read about that in a second. So what I wanted to know is tooth whitening safe? And you know, because as I get older, I'm a little self-conscious about the color of my teeth. So there's concern about teeth bleaching and the damage to your dentins. You can get strips or gel-filled trays that have hydrogen peroxide in them, and you can get them over the counter. But the problem is that hydrogen peroxide can damage proteins in your dentin layer. So if you whiten a lot, it could be a problem. And they can also roughen or soften your enamel. But the studies on that were done in a lab, and it's also possible that those changes are temporary. And I'm wondering if you do some bleaching and then you do some re-enameling right after that, if you could mitigate any of the harmful effects of the bleaching. And so that's something I want to talk to my dentist about, and I'll do that. I'm going to go to the dentist. I mean, I could text my dentist, but I might just wait until I see my hygienist, which is going to be in August. So that'll be next month, and I'll let you know what she says. So peroxide products have been around for many decades, and lots of people use them, even dentists, and they haven't seen an increase in cavities using peroxide. And the ADA thinks that they're safe as well. So you want to look for a product that has the American Dental Association seal of approval. You'll find it on whitening toothpaste and bleaching products. Follow the instructions. Some things can be used once a day. Sometimes use it for a couple of weeks. I have a friend who loves to whiten her teeth, but she says she does it once a year. So that's probably okay. You do it once a year, and then you do maintenance in between by using a whitening toothpaste. Obviously, go to your dentist, talk to your dentist. I'm going to do that. I'm going to talk to my dentist because, you know, I'm getting older and I got the blueberries and lots of blueberries now. Blueberries are, so many blueberries right now. And blueberries and blackberries and raspberries, and they stain your teeth, as does coffee and tea. And we're doing lots of bike rides to these lovely coffee stops. So I'm getting the cold brew, and the cold brew between the acid and the coloration of the coffee, you get dark teeth, which is no fun. All right. So you should listen to your teeth. That's not easy to do. So here, that's what my teeth sound like. So if you have sensitivity in your gums or teeth, when you use whitening products, then take a break from bleaching because you might be damaging your enamel or using my milder product. To avoid stains in the first place, you want to brush a couple of times a day. Smoking is really bad for staining your teeth. And coffee, tea, and red wine and berries all can stain your teeth. And of course, go for regular cleanings. So, and then talk to your dentist about what might be best for you. So whitening toothpastes. So if you buy a toothpaste that says on it that it's good for whitening, I'm going to hydrate now. That was me hydrating with plain old water, boring old water. Very nice water, I must say. Okay, I live out in the country on a country road, and we have a 200-foot well. We have brilliant water, has just enough minerals to make the water taste really good. There's no need to chlorinate it because it's so deep in the ground, and we have a filter coming up into the house, and we just have marvelous water. So anyway, whitening toothpaste do have abrasives in them. That's how they get the coloration off of your teeth. And they help and clean and polish your teeth. Typically, they have a higher, if it's a whitening toothpaste, they're going to have a higher level of buffing compounds. And it's going to usually be either baking soda or silica. And they rub away plaque, tartar, and surface stains from your teeth, and you have a brighter smile. Did you see the little that little diamond ding there? Okay. But the American Dental Association approved whitening toothpaste with abrasives have materials that are not harder than your enamel. The abrasive compounds will clean and polish your teeth but won't scratch your dental enamel. If they're ADA approved, they're also going to have fluoride in them, which has to be included to be ADA approved. And so I went to the dark side and I bought a tube of a conventional ADA approved whitening toothpaste. I told you my teeth are somewhat stained from drinking coffee and tea, and I have less than a cup of either of those daily, and likely also berries such as blueberries, and I eat them every day when they're in the house, and I did see an improvement in the whiteness in my teeth. So I went to the store, and instead of getting the nice stuff from the health food store, I got ADA approved, you know, huge corporation, I'm not going to say brand names here, but a huge corporation whitening toothpaste, and it worked. My smile is definitely brighter. And so I have to find out if you can use those all the time. So whitening toothpaste that are not approved by the American Dental Association might have charcoal in it. Charcoal is very abrasive, and some types of charcoal toothpaste are rough and hard enough to permanently damage your enamel. So you have to be really careful with that. So it's a good idea to choose ADA approved toothpaste from a well-known reputable manufacturer, and you'll be safer and you're not going to be as likely to harm your enamel. All right. So if you want to keep your teeth healthy, what should you eat? So let's see. So best and worst foods for your teeth. So teeth require a lot of nutrients to thrive, like the rest of your body. There's a shock. So foods that have a lot of calcium, vitamin A and D, phosphorus and fiber are all great for strengthening and protecting your teeth. Foods that make you make more saliva are really helpful. And foods that help to rid teeth, those foods can help to rid teeth of stains and prevent decay. And then certain foods can erode enamel, so you have to be careful. Celery, so dippable, so bland that it will go with almost anything. So other crunchy foods force you to chew more to eat it. You make more saliva that way. Saliva is a big deal. It's like the bloodstream of your mouth. It has immune compounds in it. It has probiotic in it. It carries minerals to your teeth. So having saliva running around your teeth is a really good thing. So when you chew on stuff, that's why gum works, because you make more saliva. That's part of why it works. And also why after a while gum will make you gag, because when you make too much saliva, some people get queasy. I'm one of them. All right. So celery's rough texture lightly cleans your tooth enamel. Remember we were talking about the Jamaican ladies with the sugar cane? Well, celery as well. Chia seeds. So chia seeds, I am a big lover of the chia seeds. They are great for your digestion. They boost your energy. They have vitamins and minerals. They have calcium, vitamin A, and phosphorus. And you can put them in your smoothies. You can put them in your cereal. I put them in anything that tastes good, and I'll put them over pasta. I'll put them over soup. I try to get some chia seeds in most days. They're always in my house. You know, when I have to check the chia seeds before I leave for the co-op to make sure I have enough in the house. Don't forget the coconut oil. Coconut is moisturizing. It's so good for you, and you can do oil pulling. I used to do oil pulling, but I haven't been doing it as much. Oil pulling is thought to help to prevent tooth decay. But researchers are studying it, and there's a study that found that after 7 days of oil pulling, participants found a significant reduction in plaque and plaque-induced gingivitis, and the amount of plaque continued to decrease. Leading researchers conclude that oil pulling is effective at reducing plaque formation, and that you could use it along with other traditional health things. Doing oil pulling. When you use coconut oil, you put a little bit of coconut oil in your mouth. It's something to get used to, because again, when you put the coconut oil in your mouth, you're going to make saliva, and the amount of saliva that's in your mouth is going to continue to increase, which can make you gag. So I've found that sometimes if I'm not used to it, I have to limit how much time I spend with the coconut oil in my mouth. And you have to experiment with how much you can do. I mean, a tablespoon is great if you can handle it. And if you can do 20 minutes of a tablespoon of coconut oil, that's fantastic. Caveats, spit it out in the garbage or the toilet. Don't spit it in the sink, because it will harden, especially if it's not summer. It will harden and it will block up your sink, because it gets hard at room temperature. Coconut is an amorphous solid, which means that it melts at a range of temperatures, and it will melt. I've noticed that its melting point is somewhere in the mid-70s. So when the house gets warm in the summer, we're talking mid-70s, the coconut oil that sits on the shelf starts to get liquidy. If it's in the high 70s, it's liquid. So it's not even 80 degrees, but like 75, 77 degrees, your coconut oil is definitely going to start to melt, if not completely melt. If your house is sitting at 55, like if your drains are sitting at 55 degrees because it's cold outside, it's going to harden in your drain. So spit it into the toilet. Remember, you put harder things in the toilet that you flush down, or spit it into the garbage. You could also theoretically, I suppose you could spit it into the compost as well. I'm not sure how that would affect your compost, because it is antimicrobial, and maybe you don't want it in the compost because you want the compost to have microorganisms in it. So maybe the actual trash or the toilet. All right. So coconut oil can really help to pull microorganisms out of your mouth. So dairy foods, if you are not dairy intolerant, you could be dairy intolerant. If you're dairy intolerant, don't eat dairy. You don't have to eat dairy. On the other hand, if you're not dairy intolerant and you do grass-fed dairy and or raw milk dairy that's hopefully grass-fed, is that the casein that's in it does help strengthen tooth enamel. So that's what's in cheese. If you can tolerate it, mazel tov. I don't think I can tolerate it anymore unless I just went through a phase where I can't tolerate it. I haven't figured that out yet, but I've been without dairy for a number of months now and doing a lot better digestively. If that's not you, then you can use it. I do use the casein-containing protein in the MI paste, in the paste that I put in my mouth for remineralization. And because my problem is that I can't digest it well, but it's not, I don't have like an immediate allergy to it that messes me up in my mouth. So I can put it on my teeth and that's okay. But if I were to eat it, if I eat cheese, I may not do so well with it. Now that's been my recent discovery. And so kefir, we talked about kefir as being an especially good form of dairy to consume because of the myriad of bacteria that's in it. Then there's omega-3 fatty acids. They're really good for your teeth as well. They have vitamin D in them. Essential fatty acids have been found to reduce periodontitis. So you're going to have better structure for the cell membranes in your gums so that you're going to have healthier cells. You're also going to have a reduction in inflammation in all of the tissues. So you're going to just have healthier gums in general. And just inflammation in your body is going to go down if you're doing fatty fish and fish oil. We already talked about acidic foods are no good for your teeth. Don't brush your teeth before or after, right after drinking lemon water. If you have lemon water, dilute it well. Drink plain water after you're doing lemon water. Use remineralizing toothpaste as well. White bread, not good for you. White bread because you chew on it. We already talked about the amylose that's in the bread. It's going to be broken down by the amylase in the saliva in your mouth. And you're going to make more sugar in your mouth. White bread turns into sugar in your mouth, essentially. And that's what you're looking at. So now if you do sprouted grain bread, it breaks down some of the phytates, the compounds that also can reduce enamel in your teeth. Phytates that are in grains will run around and grab, they'll grab minerals that are in your teeth. And so if you when you sprout them, that helps to take out some of the phytates. Pickles and pickled stuff and vinegar and like that. Acidic. So if you're doing that stuff, again, you want to drink water afterwards. And dried fruit as well can be a problem. So the problem with dried fruit and also sticky candy, they stick to your teeth and they stay there and the sugar can stick to your teeth and then you get a plaque situation. So if you like to engage in trail mix or dried fruit, make sure you drink some water afterwards. Maybe pop a xylitol candy afterwards. So those are some food that's good and bad for your teeth. And then there are some foods that help to remineralize your teeth. And so some foods that remineralize your teeth, we talked about calcium. When you consume foods that have calcium, you want to make sure you have adequate vitamin D3 and K2 along with it. Vitamin D3, of course, you want to make sure you're getting your vitamin D3 levels checked regularly by your doctor so you can dial in a dose that works for you. You can get calcium from things other than dairy, such as lentils and grains and hazelnuts, almonds, beans, sesame seeds, and soybeans. Vitamin K2. Vitamin K2 is going to be found in Gouda cheese, also in grass-fed cheese. It's also going to be found, you can take a supplement that has it in it, and then some fermented products will have vitamin K2. Vitamin K2 activates osteocalcin, which is needed for your dentin matrix and also for you to build bones in the rest of your body. Magnesium, which you're going to find largely in leafy greens, that's going to be really good for you. It's also in nuts and seeds. Collagen. So collagen, you know, is not, we don't eat foods with collagen in them so regularly. So that's where you're going to find that in products that contain collagen. You're going to find it in bone broth. You can get bone broth protein now. I'm starting to use bone broth. I wasn't using whey protein. This whey protein was hard on my stomach. I started using yellow pea protein, which I do pretty well with. And then I tried the bone broth protein. I do really well with it and it tastes really good. It's really smooth and creamy and it has a lot of stuff that's good for rebuilding your digestive system and your collagen and your bones and your teeth. It's really nice stuff. And so it's found in organ meats and other things that we don't tend to eat a lot of. I'm not a big fan of kidney and gizzards and liver. And I mean, I know there are people who talk about you have to find healthy sources of those things and eat them. I'm not big on those, but we do take our chickens and make bone broth out of them. And if we get a chicken that comes with the gizzards and, you know, the other organs and stuff, we throw them in the bone broth and then we get those. And if you buy prepared bone broth, those you're going to have those elements in there. Then, of course, we talked about the oral probiotics, the probiotics that you can suck on that are going to impart healthy bacteria to your teeth. So so those are going to be some good things. And then there's some help for receding gums. So your gums are going to recede when you have too much bacteria. And if you have bad breath or swollen gums, or your gums bleed when you eat or brush your teeth, or if your teeth are even loose, if you have hormonal changes when you get pregnant or take birth control pills, you might notice that you have some gingivitis, some inflamed gums. When you have diabetes, you tend to get gum issues. When you have immune deficiency like HIV, if you don't have enough vitamin C, if you smoke, and one of the reasons you get gum issues when you smoke is oxidative damage, and also because your needs for vitamin C are much higher when you smoke. So you're going to have a vitamin C, you're going to be more vitamin C deficient or have a higher need for it, and that's going to affect your gums. Genetically, some people just get gingivitis. Some medications give you issues with your gums. Some antidepressants, phenytoin was a big one that you don't see people. It's an anti-seizure drug that you don't see people on anymore. If you grind your teeth, that's bad for your gums as well. You don't brush your teeth. If you don't flush, you're going to have worse gums. So you want to make sure you clean. Annual cleaning, flossing, picking, antimicrobial mouthwashes. Sometimes antibiotics may be prescribed. You might have to get flap surgery. And then there are things that can help with gum health. Green tea is really good. The catechins in it are really helpful. There's studies that show green teas help. We already talked about oil pulling. You can also rub with coconut oil and Himalayan sea salt, taking vitamin C if you need to. Aloe vera. So aloe vera can be found in toothpaste. You can also take aloe vera that's meant for oral use, or aloe juice, and you can hold aloe juice in your mouth, and that's going to help your gums as well. There's something called Septalin. That's a proprietary blend of Google, Guduchi, Amla, and licorice, and some other compounds that are really good for your gums. It's for your teeth. Amla itself, I'm taking Amla because it's good for blood pressure, among other things. But Amla is an Ayurvedic herb that also helps with connective tissue in general. We already talked about flossing and mouthwash and omega-3 fatty acids, so those are all really helpful. So tooth hygiene was something I wanted to talk about. Why? Because one day I looked in the mirror and decided that my teeth were not as white as I would like, and I became more interested in that, so I started experimenting. And it turned into using some global company toothpaste, and it helped. But I wanted to talk about natural ways to help keep your teeth healthy, so I thought I'd talk about this week. Great. So here's some. So healthy Coke may not be so healthy for you. Cola is not so healthy for you. If you're going to eat acidic stuff, make sure you drink water afterwards and do some nice things for your teeth. And I'm going to go now. You've been listening to Radio Naturopath, the talk show about health and natural medicine. I am Fran Storch, ND, naturopathic physician. You can email me with questions and comments at radionaturopath@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to the show at another time, you can check out our podcast at whus.org, iTunes, and Spotify. You can also leave questions or comments at my Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at Fran Storch, ND. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. The information presented on this show should not be construed as medical advice or direction. If you're having a medical condition, please consult with your physician. Thank you for listening to Radio Naturopath, your show where you can learn about the best of science and nature. We'll be back with more Radio Naturopath next week at 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org.